And then he said unto them, Luke's Gospel 24:25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay, so notice where believing comes. Believing is only mentioned when he says things concerning himself. So you can get faith, or you can see faith in the Old Testament books, except whatever has been discussed is about him. Because you can't find faith in the Old Testament as a book. Faith is found in Christ. So it's when you can see Christ in the books that you'll find faith. You know, 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is where? In Christ Jesus. He's talking about the Old Testament. And he says, you'll find faith, salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not salvation through faith in the scriptures. No, it's salvation through faith in Christ Jesus in the scriptures. Because Christ is not the only personality spoken about in the Old Testament. But faith is only found when he is in the utterance or is in the prophecy. That's it. Look at Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Paul, again, is discussing the Old Testament. Romans 10:17. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so fortunate that many times people have used this to talk about faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming, and hearing by hearing and by hearing. But then you just need to back up a bit and know what he's talking about. In verse 12, for example, he says there is no difference between, in fact, 11. In fact, 6. 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Remember last week? Was it this? Last week we looked at the righteousness which is of the law. Was it last week? And that which is of faith. Alright, so now look at it. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart that we shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, and who shall descend, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what's here it is? It says, the word is nigh thee, alright, in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith which we preach. Now, if you look at 12, or better still 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Isaiah 28:16. Whosoever believes on him. So, Isaiah is speaking about someone. He didn't say, whosoever believes in me. Whosoever believes on him, Isaiah 28, shall not be ashamed. So, he goes on in 13 or 12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Joel 2. Verse 32. Then he begins to tell us, you know, different things. How can they call on someone they've not heard? How can they hear? How can they call on someone they don't believe? How can they believe in someone they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? Now, he's not talking about hearing about healing or hearing about prosperity or hearing about protection or hearing about something. You know, he's talking about salvation. He isn't talking about any other thing. He's talking about salvation, because if you read, if you back up a bit, you're talking about the righteousness of God, alright, which I told you last week, that salvation is what? Righteousness. You remember that? So he's discussing righteousness. He's not teaching something else. So when he says faith comes, realize he's talking about salvation. or faith is by, because the word cometh is not the original. He's referring to salvation. Pay attention now. Now when he says the word is nigh thee in your mouth, he picked that from Deuteronomy 30. Turn there quickly. Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. It says, notice the backup of that verse. Deuteronomy 30. It says, but the word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart, that thou mayest do it. That thou mayest do it. You back up in 11, in 12. Is it not in heaven that thou shalt say, who shall go up us to heaven to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Are you following this? Are you following this? That's verse 1. That's verse 7, right? Verse 6 and verse 7. Alright, so verse 8, that's Romans 10, 6 and 7. Okay? Then he says in 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shalt say, who shall go over the sea for us, that is to bring unto us that we may hear it and do it. So he says, but the word is very nigh thee. See what was hidden in those statements. The word is nigh thee in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. Hallelujah. I've said before thee this day, life and good, death and evil. What is he talking about? It's all about the gospel. So he's saying the gospel is near you. He's not referring to any other thing. So in Romans 10, go back there quickly. I hope you're still there. Are you still in Romans 10? Okay, verse 8. It says, what's the other? The word is nigh thee in the mouth and in the heart. That is the word of what? Faith that we preach. Now where is that? In your heart and in your mouth. In your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith, the message of faith that we preach. Now, where is Paul preaching it from? He's preaching it from the Old Testament. He's saying the word of faith or the message of faith is in the Old Testament. But the message of faith is about Christ. So the word of faith will be found where? In the Old Testament books. Now, how do I know the word of faith? That which says, I should believe. And I shall say, or I shall believe in him. That's the message of faith. And you'll find that in the Old Testament. Okay? So faith is in the Old Testament, but faith is not everything about the Old Testament. Or everything about the Old Testament is not faith. Faith is the message of Christ in the Old Testament. Quickly look at Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 22. Pay attention, this is very vital. He says, but the scripture hath concluded all on the sin. Now, when I say the scripture, you're referring to which books now? Old Testament books. So that's Genesis to Malachi. He says, the scripture hath concluded all on the sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, pay attention to that. When I say the scripture has concluded all on the scene, I want you, this is very important that you listen very well to this part, because I want to explain something a bit technical, but not pretty, it's very simple, but if you pay attention, you get it. Now, when I say the scripture has concluded all on the scene, you know that cannot refer to before the law was given. Even though he's talking about the Old Testament. He can't talk about before the law was given, because that word concluded all on the sin. The word concluded is the word socleo. S-U-G-L-E-I-O. S-U-G-L-E-I-O. And that's how you know that man wrote the Bible. That word concluded is to shut in, to make subject to, or to enclose inside. So God cannot shut people on the sin. Are you there? Spirit of God can. He said, he shut everybody on the scene. To make subject to. Let's see synonymous words of this. Synonymous words. Shut. Shut on the scene. Luke 5 and 6. Luke 5 and 6. Quickly. Luke 5 and 6. And they had this done. They enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. That is to put a fish or to put fish inside a net. So they don't go out. Romans 11:32. Book of Romans 11:32. Same word. Romans 11:32. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. In unbelief. Romans, Galatians 3:23. Same place. Before faith came, were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that shall afterward be revealed. I'll come to that. Look at the word under. Now, that word under, okay, by sin, is hupo. It's used for subjects, all under sin. Galatians 3:22. That, H-I-N-A in the Greek, ina, in order. Okay, so we have two things now, two principles now. We have the law, and then we have faith. The law concludes everybody on the scene. Remember Romans 3:19. Paul says, what things say the law? He said them that are under the law. He says that all may become guilty before God. So, Romans 3:19. So the law is to make men guilty. Hebrews 8, remember? Finding fault with them. So the law was to find fault. So the law was concluding everybody on the scene. So we have two things here, two principles. We have faith, and then we have the law. So when it says the scripture here, you see that as we back up a bit, that it's referring to the law. Shut up on the scene. Go to verse 12. Galatians 3. Let's take it together. Galatians 3, 12. Are you there? Come. And the law, come on, let's go one more time. Let's go. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. Verse 11. But no man is justified by the law. Let's take it. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law. It says the just shall live by faith. So, we have two principles or two things been discussed in there. You know, when he says that either the man that does those things shall live by them, you find that in Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. And all people shall say, amen. See, that's the law. To do them. To do. So we have two things discussed. The law and faith. The law and faith. And the law is not of faith. But you know, we just... First of all, we just said something now. That faith is in the Old Testament. And also the law is in there. Old Testament book. So, that means we're going to find faith and the law in the same books. Are you following what I'm saying here? The law is not of faith. But the law is under the Old Testament. Now, where is the message of faith? Where is the word of faith? Where is the message of faith? Old Testament. What we call the Holy Scriptures. Where is the law? The Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. You follow that? So, you got to pay attention. So, look at 23. Galatians 3. Remember we said, the scripture had concluded all on the scene, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. But before faith came, see that? Before faith came, remember, Romans said something. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Look at that word again. Under. Two times. Under. All under, were kept under the law. That word kept under is the word phroureo in the Greek, P-H-R-O-U-R-E-O. P-H-R-O-U-R-E-O. It's used for a military guard. A military guard. 2 Corinthians 11:32. A military guard. 2 Corinthians 11:32. A military guard. In Damascus, he says, 2 Corinthians 11:32. The governor under Hieratus, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison. desirous to apprehend me. That's the word there. For real. Then Philippians 4:7. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. That's quite positive. Praise God. The peace of God guards your heart. All right, 1 Peter 1:5, same thing. So you see that the word here is this. It says, we were kept under the law. So we have two words. Kept like a military guard, under, so clear, shut up, subject to the law. So sin. So God can't be shutting you under sin. That's the law. Law shuts over and sin. So the law doesn't help anybody. The law doesn't justify anyone. However, let me ask you a question. Is there justification in the Old Testament books? But that's by faith. Is there condemnation in the Old Testament books? But by what? By the law. And they're all in the same books. Hallelujah. You following this? Are you following this? Alright, so that's why you carefully have to know which is what and what is which. They're in the same books. So, when says the scripture has concluded all on the scene. Go to Romans 8. Sorry, that Romans is coming. John 8, I mean. John 8, Jesus. You know, it's so important that we don't use scriptures for what they don't mean. Look at Romans, John 8, sorry, I'm not Romans. If you continue in my word, verse 31, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now when they read this kind of scripture for Christians, I wonder what they want you to be free from. That's not for a believer. But watch this. And then they answer, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage in any to any man. They're not very sincere people. How serious are you shall be made free. Look at what he says to them. I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever. Hallelujah. But the Son abides forever. Let's say 36 together. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Is that talking about salvation? Exactly, salvation. God, so, who, he says, whoever commits sin is a servant of who? Sin. So, sin makes people servants. That's what we just read. To keep them under. Remember that? Jesus makes people free. Christ Jesus makes people free. Not servants. So, when it says the scripture has concluded all under sin, there has to be the law of sin and death. Still out there? Are you still out there? There has to be the law of sin and death. Pay attention. James 1:13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? Alright, so good. So, when it says the scripture has concluded all on the scene, that's the Old Testament books that were written, okay? But he's not saying God has concluded you on the scene. Because God cannot hold you in bondage of sin. He's the one that sets free in his Son. Hallelujah. That's why I said before faith came. Are you there? Are you still there? Before faith came. The word of faith which we preach. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. Get back to Galatians 3. That's where we are. Galatians 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somehow, I found out that what I'm teaching in first and second services and Wednesday is going to come in together as the same thing. And that's a bit interesting. So I'll advise you to make sure that you follow through the three. They're going to say the same thing in different ways. You know, Wednesdays we're teaching ministering the Spirit, understanding the New Testament ministry. First service, law and the prophets. In the second service, I'll be teaching on the anointing oil and the anointed. And they're going to be the same thing. Hallelujah. So you make sure that you follow through. Galatians 3, we're there. So 23. But the scripture, so 23. Wherefore, no, 23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith that shall afterwards be revealed. Don't forget that before now, he tells you in verse 13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed means to buy. Buy a slave. Someone who is under captivity. Are you there? Alright, so that's why I said you were shut up and kept under the law. 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. Positive or negative? Huh? It can't be positive because we just said now we're under bondage. It can't be positive. The law was our schoolmaster. Now the King James says to the King James italicized letter says to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law didn't bring you to Christ because you just said that the law doesn't justify anybody. The law is a schoolmaster. The law is a He says you were kept under the law. You cannot be kept under the law and then brought to Christ. Because if the law will bring you to Christ, that means the law sets you free. He said faith came. He didn't say the law came to Christ. So you find out that word, unto Christ, is italicized. Are you there? Are you there? Come on. The word schoolmaster is an old Greek word, paidagogos. P-A-I-D-O-G-O-G-O-S. P-A-I-D-O-G-O-G-O-S. It's used for those who don't know their way. It's like a child leader. Someone who takes care of someone who doesn't know what to do. Paidagogos. 1 Corinthians 4:15. You have many instructors. But you don't have many fathers. You have thousands of instructors. And people have said that that man may not be my father in the Lord, but he's my instructor. And I'm thinking, you're insulting the man. An instructor is a child leader. Someone who is just like a welfare taker because you don't know your way around things. But a father is the one who nurtures you into growth. That's the pastor. So here, he's saying, the law was a schoolmaster. Because we didn't know what to do. When it says, unto Christ, that is before Christ. Before Christ. That's why that word is, bring us unto, bring us, to bring us is italicized. So, the law was our schoolmaster till Christ. Is that very clear? Do you understand that? Till Christ. The law didn't take us to Christ. Christ came and took us out of the law. I hope you understand that. Do you understand that? Remember, let's take it one more time. Who came? Christ came. Not the law. The law didn't come to Christ. Christ came to set free people free under the law. Are you there? Okay, good. But after that faith is come, so let's take it one more time. So the schoolmaster will be a prisoner. So will be a prison owner. Am I right? Am I right? Whoever is under the schoolmaster is under bondage. Am I right? All right. Whoever is under the schoolmaster is a prisoner of a schoolmaster. Am I right here? Good. So, he says, so that's not a positive word. So, he says, the law was our schoolmaster. Don't say is our schoolmaster. Until Christ. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That's why in chapter 4, he begins to talk about the same thing. He uses a parable, a figure of speech. And he says that an heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the fathers. That word, their servant, is the word doulos. Doulos. He says it doesn't differ. It's used oftentimes for tutors, stewards, and governors. Stewards to the governors. Deferred, not deferred. Though he be Lord of all, he's under 2,000 governors until the time appointed of the Father. Are you there? Are you there? That word governor is like an housekeeper. Oikonomos in the Greek. O-I-K-O-N-O-M-O-S. You know, nomos is already law. Right? Somebody who enforces a law in a house. An housekeeper. So, he says again, you are under. Notice the word under. You know that word under kept coming up. Under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. This is not talking about God and you. This is just a figure of speech. A parable. I've explained this to you before in teaching on the spirit of adoption. Even so, we. Are you following this? Notice the word under. Now, back up a bit. Where do we have the word under? Galatians 3.22. Galatians 3.23. Galatians 3.25. Positive or negative? Positive or negative? Refers to being in prison? Something like that. So, he's saying the same thing here. Even so, we, when we were children. Now, the word children there is not spiritual growth. When we were children, because he uses child in verse 1, is nepios, someone that doesn't know what to do. When we were children. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Were we Christians here? Were we believers here? No, we weren't. Because we said when we were children. Under the elements and systems of the world. And something that amazes me is that Paul describes the law of Moses as elements of the world. He calls it worldly things. That's what he calls. Look at Colossians 2:8. Put your hands there. Don't run away from that. Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That word spoil you is not, you know, spoil. When I say, he spoils my phone. That means, you know, that's what you think spoil. The word spoil here means to take into bondage. Like he says, spoils of war. Let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After what? Colossians 2. After what? The traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Now, he's discussing the law. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Taste not, touch not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. He's discussing the law. You also read verse 16 and 17. He's discussing the law. He calls it the commandments of men. Because that's exactly what they are. Are you there? One more time. Look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 12. Hebrews 5, 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God, and become a such a need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's not referring to spiritual growth. He's referring to a babe as touching the law. I told you many times, he's not referring to spiritual growth. Because he says you discern between that which is good and evil. What is evil there is not referring to the devil. What is evil there is the law of sin and death. What is good are the good things to come in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about spiritual growth. So when he mentions the things of this world, the law, again, is the word stoicheion. I'll spell it for you. Stoicheion. 3:10 and 12. Again, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Talking about the world. Again, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So, when he uses the word elements, talking about the world, he's talking about something that will fade away, that relates with things. You know, the law relates with things. Clothes, food, houses, buildings, vessels. He says these are elementary things of the world. Taste not, touch not, handle not. Stoicheion. Things that will pass away of the world. Elementary. Same word. Natural things. Temporary things. Still out there? Go back to Galatians 3. So, one of the ways you will see a person who is functioning under the law is not just the condemnation, the message of sin, it's also the fact that they will be dealing with things. Things. Holy Communion. Baptism of water. You know those kind of things. Holy Communion. Whatever is holy there, you are the only one that can define it. Things like a cross. Paul says, they look lovely inside. That when we finished service today, they gave everybody a bottle of oil for protection. It looks good. But they are worldly things. That's what Paul is saying. They're worldly. Elementary things. The communion service. What's communion service? Communion service is where we eat the body of Jesus and drink his blood. Listen to yourself again. Listen to yourself again. Who is Jesus? How did you believe? By the word. Hallelujah. It's not by the word you believe, by faith. So if we walk by faith, we can't be taking things. Praise the name of the Lord. Elementary things of the world. They just keep you in bondage. That's what they do. Galatians 4:9. Oh, I like this one. Galatians 4:9. Are you still there? Now we have a teaching on this. You can lay your hands on it. Let's take verse 9 together. Okay, come on. Yep. I don't know. Okay. Let's take verse 10. Let's go. Howbeit, everybody, let's go. Galatians 4 now, verse 8. When you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are gods. No God. Verse 9. But now, after you have known God, or rather, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Now, what kept them bondage? Bondage had been used for the law. Weak and beggarly elements. Let's take verse 10. Let's go. Come on. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Can you imagine that I'm afraid of you? You observe days. That's what he's saying here. He calls them the things of the world. Says you're acting like you are under bondage, dualo, slavery. Slavery. That was dualo. Let me just run through that. Dualo. Romans 7, the law was used. You'll read through Romans 7. Romans 6, 18, righteousness. You can also be a dual law of righteousness. Romans 6, 18. Romans 6, 22. A slave unto God. To live unto God. Romans 6, 22. 1 Corinthians 7, 5. Or 7, 15. Talking about marriage. Galatians 4:3. Titus 2:3. Why? We're given to something. Then 2 Peter 2:19. Okay, let's just quickly on that. Now, so he's discussing bondage. Galatians 4. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He's calling the law the elements of the world. Galatians 4:3. The elements of the world. Even so we. So he says in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under, or made under the law. Now, who? What was this? It says, made of a woman, made under the law. Who is made under the law? Christ or the woman? Huh? Say what? Thank you. The woman. Alright? Under the law. Why? To redeem them. Hallelujah. You see that? To redeem them. They were under the law. To purchase. To bring out of bondage. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive, hallelujah, the adoption of sons. Remember Jesus. He said the servant does not abide in the house forever. Only the son lives. Remember I read that earlier? So what do we receive? We receive what? Adoption. Euthesia. Euthesia means to be seen as a son, to be placed in the position of a son. Euthesia. Hoios is son. Euthesia means to be placed in the position of a son. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's take verse 6 together. Come on, verse 6, everybody. And because what? Can you say we are? Come on. Because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, heir of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are sons now. It says no more. I think there's a song like no more slave. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. You know, people sing that. Some of you just like good lyrics. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm a lander. And they see it's a communion thing. Are you following the scriptures at all? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And you tell them, if you eat this bread, and there's anything in your life, you'll be destroyed. I'm no longer slave to fear. You're contradicting your mind. Hallelujah. If you're a son, you don't need initiation via food. This thing will communicate life to you now. Life. To you. I give you this. Anything wrong in your body will go. That's African religion infused into Christianity. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say so the Spirit of God is in me already. So what are you giving to me? What is this you are giving to me? Just keep quiet. You'll discover it later. Before you eat it. And you know the way we do it. Just like they did in Egypt. Bring it out. Close your eyes. You are bring the gibbon. Eat. Drink. You are in bondage. We are sons now. Hallelujah. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Glory to God. Whatever is not in the spirit of His Son doesn't belong to us. Glory to His name. Are you still there? Alright. So, listen carefully. There was a dispensation of the law that subsisted. You get it? And then, right in that same body of scriptures, we have faith. Faith is found there. So we'll find faith, we'll find the law. Remember, that's what we started with. Can you remember that's what we started with? You'll find faith, you'll find the law, and the law is not of faith. So, is it likely that when we take the Old Testament books, we're going to find contradictions? Huh? So, one of the contradictions is not a contradiction from God. It is men and God. You following that? It's not God who has a bipolar image. No, it's men and God. When the Bible says, for example, that the scripture has concluded all under sin, that couldn't be God. The scriptures were written by men. If we find out who gave the law, for example, is a man called Moses. Now, who told them the word is not in their mouth? Moses too. No, Moses kept saying, I set before you life and death. So he always had what? Life and death. He did more death. He said life, he said death. So he gave them the gospel, and he also gave them the law. Follow what I'm saying here? And that pervaded that dispensation. Now watch this. So how do we find faith in the Old Testament? I said, Pastor Boy, how do I find faith? This is not difficult. How do I find faith in the Old Testament? A key word is this. Go back to chapter 3. Galatians again. You learning something? Are you learning something? Look at this. But the scripture had concluded all on the scene that the promise, hallelujah, promise, you don't do promises, you believe promises. Evangelion. Remember Evangelion? Evangelion, we did a series on that last year. Evangelion, the promise of God. Evangelion. You don't do. A law says do. A promise says believe. If it's a law, you act. If it's a promise, the promiser acts. You believe. So in a law, you act, you do. In a promise, you receive. If it's a law, the responsibility is on you. If it's a law. If it's a promise, you receive. The law, you do something. Thou shalt. But if it's a promise, faith is in there. If I tell you, for example, I'm saying, I'll be at your house tomorrow. You don't come to my house to bring me. That means you don't believe. If I say, I'll be at your house tomorrow, you wait for me. That means you what? You believe me. Are you there? So, in a promise, you receive. You believe. In a law, you act. That's why he said, the law justifies nobody in the sight of God. Because you're trying to do something that God said He will do. Still out there? Are you still out there? Follow this. So, faith is found in what another will do. Faith is found in what another will do. For example, look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Put your hands in Galatians. We're still there. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse
20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. In him, yes, and in him, amen. In him is the fulfillment. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus. So, where do I find faith in the Old Testament? 2 Corinthians 1:20, that's what I just read. Where do I find faith in the Old Testament? In the promises. That's where I find faith. Look at Luke's Gospel 24 one more time. So, when Jesus was doing that study, Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25-27. O fool, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, can we change the word things to the promises? Would that make sense? Huh? What is it? The things concerning himself, can we say the promises? Talk to me, guys. The promises concerning himself. So, what was promised concerning him? So a key element is to read. Last week I mentioned the importance of reading. You're going to read. Are you there? You've got to read. Well, why? Now, what is the essence of personal study? I think I need to educate some of us, because I always hear people say, know God for yourself. Know God for yourself. I don't know where that is in the Bible, but people say it a lot of times. Know God for yourself. You must have a personal relationship with God. Know God for yourself. Study the Bible for yourself. They don't have no verse of scripture for it. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. I know. How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? You read it. Who put it in the book? The Holy Spirit. Isn't that a joke? What's the essence of personal study? I'll tell you. Look at Ephesians 3:4. So you won't mix it up. Ephesians 3:4. Watch this. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me a mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Let's take verse 4 together. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you what? When you read, you may understand. Remember that word read. Anagnosko. We read it last week. Anagnosko. It means to read and capture the details. Jesus used it. Matthew 12:3. Have you not read in your law? Not browsing through. Where some of us read our Bibles in the morning. Just the reading here is like an academic way. Read it. Look at it very well. You take notes. Read. When you read, you may understand. But, you know, they are reading after they had been taught. So, both must complement each other. And this is a reason why many believers are struggling, because they say, well, this is not what the Holy Spirit told me. Are you joking? Say, the Holy Spirit told me the meaning the Holy Spirit gave me is a different meaning. I was teaching them a Bible, well, a minister's, it's like a minister's training school. And I was explaining some scriptures to them, and then we're doing what we call Bible hermeneutics. I teach hermeneutics. I've been teaching hermeneutics for 22 years. And so, the person said, well, but that's scripture. And I told him, let the weak say I'm strong. Now, if you just read it, it's a figure of speech. Let the weak say I am strong. And now let the weak say I am strong. That is actually a mockery. That the prophet of God, in this case Joel, speaking on behalf of God, that's a Jew, he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Come and tell. That is you that are weak. Say I'm strong. Come and fight me. It's not that if you are weak, receive strength. No. And they all saw it. And everybody was looking. They kept quiet for a while. Then a senior minister said, sir, but can the Holy Spirit use that verse to minister someone else to me? I said, like what? Like healing. And I said, well, let me ask this. And I don't, because the wife is the wife of the lead, the pastor. Actually, she's the wife. No, he, sorry. She's the wife of, Lord have mercy. You don't say those, in these days, you be careful saying he, she. You have to be very careful. You know, he, she, you know. So, I said, for example, the Bible says all things are mine. I turn to the husband. And I say, I claim your wife. And all things are mine. His eyes just change. I like to use that example a lot of times. It drives home the point. Why are you disagreeing with it? Well, that's not what the verse is saying. Exactly what we've been saying. Hallelujah. So, you read to understand, not you read. Without a church, without a pastor, without someone teaching you. That's not what he's saying. You read to understand. 2 Corinthians 1:13. The essence of personal study. 2 Corinthians 1:13. Alright, good. For we write none other things unto you, than that you read, that is, or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge, and even to the end. To read, to acknowledge. So when you read, it's to acknowledge what you have been taught. You acknowledge it. It's applicable when you are taught. Jesus will teach, then you say, have you not read? Reading never takes the place of teaching or being taught and vice versa. Because you are being taught means you have to read. And because you are reading means you also have to be taught. They will go together. Jesus gave teachers to you, for example. He gave gifts unto men. In fact, the most prominent duty of a ministry gift in the body of Christ is to teach. The job of the Holy Spirit, let me say this clearly to you, because I know I've taught this before. The job of the Holy Spirit is not to teach. The job of teaching is for men to teach you. I'll take it one more time. The job of the Holy Spirit is not to teach. Work of, sorry, that's a job. Work of the Holy Spirit. That job looks somehow employment. Work of the Spirit. Look at 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Look at it. 1 John 2:20. You know all things. Now you know what he's talking about. You just need to read the prior text. He's talking about false prophets. The spirit of the Antichrist. So you know. You have the truth in you. You know all things. Then 27. 1 John 2:27. The anointing that you have received of him abides in you. Follow that. The anointing you received of him abides in you. Okay? And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, him that has taught you, so you shall abide in him. What's that? He's talking about. He's talking about verse 26. These things I write unto you concerning them that seduce you. Then you don't need anyone to seduce you because you already have the Holy Ghost. That's what he's saying. That's what I say. Well, the Bible says, you don't need any man to teach you. I said, who wrote that? So who wrote that? A man. What's his name? John. Is he not a man? You know, you take that out of context. You read to understand. You go to church to be taught the word of God. That's where you explain it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for what? Teaching. Who does the teaching? The pastor. 2 Timothy 3:16. That's why the bishop, the pastor, 1 Timothy 3:2 is apt to teach, 2 Timothy 2:24. Able to teach, 2 Timothy 2:2. Teach, teach, teach. Those guys have the Holy Ghost in Acts 2, yet they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Am I making sense here? But when they are taught, they stop reading. Huh? They read more. It's when you read that you acknowledge that, this verse is different. That's when you have questions. But if you're used to screaming when you're being taught, hey, hey, yay, 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 something's wrong with you. You need more than a schoolmaster. Yay, yay. How in the world? You know, people preaching and somebody's dropping money. I see somewhere else. Hey, guy, run in. Come on, put your money. What's this? Do I look like Shango? Put your money and go away. If you want to give, let me finish teaching. Then you'll know whether to give or not. Are you under a spell? Hallelujah. So you need to read. Is that clear? The man who wrote, you have an knowledge of the Holy Ghost, you know all things. He said, these things I write unto you, that you may know. Right? 1 John 5:13. That you may know. He said, the Holy Ghost is in you so that you may know. These things I write unto you, that you may know. In 1 John 2:12. That your sins are forgiven. 13. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, mature men. Old men. I write unto you. That you may know, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. He wrote that you will know. So you're going to read. Personal study is so vital when you are being taught. It's so vital. It's in study that you will know. Sometimes, even the teacher or the pastor, maybe he makes a mistake here and there. It's in study that you're going to know. It's in study that you will fully realize what you have been taught. So you need to leave services and go back to what you heard. And go through them all over again. Hallelujah. Let's go on. So you will find, pay attention now, the law and faith in the same book. Now, how are you going to detect that? You've got to read it well. Very well. Pay very good attention. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 1 to 39 tells you about the Old Testament. From Abel to the last man in Malachi. And he says in Hebrews 11, go there. Hebrews 11. So, if you just came in, what we're saying is, the law and faith are in the same books. Right? Yet the law is not of faith. The law and faith, they are in the same book. You will find the law of sin and death, and the promise of the Spirit of life in Christ in the same book. Same prophets will say the same thing. So watch this. Now listen, Hebrews 11. I said from verse 1 to 39. Look at 39. 39 now says, but all this, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Can you imagine that? He says they received not the promise.
Yet it says, for by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. Let's take verse 13 together. Hebrews 11. These all, Hebrews 11, 13. I've told you, always open the scriptures when they're quoted. Let's go. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. Watch it. Not having what? Go on. Sin them afar off, and were persuaded, and embraced them, and confessed. Did they believe the promise? Did they believe the promise? Did they receive the promise? No. Did they believe the promise? Did they receive the promise? Because the promise is going to be fulfilled in Christ. But they, so faith is to them called the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith to them. That's not faith to us. Faith to us is not what we hope for or what we haven't seen. Faith is what Christ has already done. For all the promises are fulfilled, yes and amen. Is that clear? So Hebrews 11:1 is not a dictionary meaning of faith. Let's take it one more time. Let's look at it. Faith. Abel. Abel. Notice that most of the actors here in Hebrews 11, except two people, Moses and Abraham, had just one action recorded as faith. All except two, Moses and Abraham. And you see, Abel won. Noah once, Enoch once, Abraham had 11 verses committed unto him. 11. Isaac just once, Jacob just once, Joseph. Moses also had from verse 24 to 29. And Moses, did you notice that? When Moses was mentioned, pay attention to this is one. When Moses was mentioned as such in faith, it didn't go further. They stopped at the Red Sea. No, anyway, 40 years after that, nothing of it was mentioned. Because the law is not of faith. They had crossed the Red Sea before the law was given. And nothing of faith was mentioned. He just said Moses when he was born. Moses. He left Egypt. Moses, they kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood. Moses, they crossed the sea. And that's all. Faith. You can't say Moses by faith gave the law. That would look crazy, right? Moses by faith went to Mount Sinai. Said, thou shalt not, because the law is not of faith. Are you still out there? Good. Notice also, Abraham's birth of Ishmael wasn't mentioned as a faith act. I think that's important to know. Hebrews 11. Even verse 32 mentions Rahab the harlot. Perish not with them that believe not. Rahab the harlot. Verse 11. Verse 32. Verse 33 to 37. You notice this. 37. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, 33, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, when the violence of fire has kept the edge of sword, how a weakness when made strong, works valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their death raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials, mockings, and verse 36, and scourges, yet moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were torn, stoned, stoned, they were tempted, they were slain with sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and dense caves of the earth. Pay attention. You notice that? Not one of them, pay this, Mr. Martin, not one of them was said to have used faith to destroy anyone. Not one. Faith
was to expect Christ. Faith was to expect Christ. Faith was not used to destroy. No. Faith was taught here to expect Christ. And notice what he says. He says, despite all they did, verse 39 to verse 40, says, they died and yet did not receive the promises, because they without us were not made perfect. God hasn't provided something better for us. And that's quite some real study to see. So, really, the kind of things that you discover that the New Testament seems silent about the things we scream about, David and Goliath. I don't know if you will see Goliath in the epistles. So silent. Ah! The wars and the carnage. You know those things that we keep, the kings we hide. They don't hide. The kings we are. Elijah and the prophet of Baal. If I be a man of God, we're coming to that in a moment. The new covenant doesn't hide those things. Solomon's well. Jesus actually said that the flowers are better arrayed than Solomon. So what? Say what? Say what? What? He said so. That destroys many prosperity teachings. It happens that the things that we hype in the old covenant were not hyped at all. What was hyped in them was their faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay? So, pay attention now. Now, the prophets which were studying, were they under the law? No. Were they under the law? Sure they were. The prophets were under the law. Look at Matthew 11. Now pay attention to this one now. Let's do some very good Bible interpretation. Matthew 11, 13. Let's take it together. For all the law, so all the prophets and the law prophesy until John. So Jesus calls the law and the prophets. One and the same. They prophesied until John. John 10:34. John 10:34. So when you read the law, again, in Bible interpretation, which is very vital in Christian worship, you must read it contextually. Don't use a general word for everything. I've warned you about that many times. John 10:34. Are you there? Let's take it together. John 10:34. Let's go. Jesus answered them, is it not, everybody, one more time, let's go. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are God? Let me ask you, where was this written? Psalm 82, verse 6. So Jesus calls Psalm 82 the law. Psalm 82, verse 6. Look at John 15. John 15, 25. John 15, 25. John 15, 25.
Then it comes to pass, the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Where is that one? Psalm 35 verse 19. Psalm 35 verse 19. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 35 verse 19. So, can we also say that just the same way we call the Old Testament Genesis, yet we know Genesis didn't have the Old Testament of the law. We also can say that things that happened after Moses had died and given the law, the end of Canaan and all that, are still called the law. So we can also call the law all the writings of the Old Testament. Because If Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he wrote them under the law. So we can also therefore say the law refers to the writings. The writings were under that dispensation, even though the law was not given until Exodus. Look at Romans 5. The significance of that you're going to see in a moment. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5 and 12, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all, Romans 5 and 12, for they all have sinned. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Until the law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So, that means the law came by Moses. Okay? Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 9. But not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So again, you see that that's talking about the period when they left Egypt. Yet, you see something now? Before that period, that is before Exodus 12, the writings of that period is still also referred to as the law. Look at Galatians 4, the same book. Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 21. This is Paul speaking. Galatians 4, 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? Let's take it together. 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid. This is Genesis 16:15. Genesis 21:2. He called Genesis what? The law. So you need to realize that sometimes the law refers to when the law was given. Sometimes talking about the writings. So you got to know what is he talking about in context. Because you see, there seems to be another thing he said earlier on, Galatians 3, verse 17. Now, he says, is it not written in your law? Yet, the law was not given. Galatians 3, 17. Let's take it together. 17 and 18. Let's go. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was how many years? 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by what? By what? So he's saying to us that the law came 430 years after. Yeah, he's saying, do you not hear the law? Are you following this? So the writings are called the law. But all the events are not called the law. Come on. Are you with me? Are you there? The writings are called what? The law. But all the events are not called the law. So, you make that very vital distinction. Let's run quickly. So you use the term contextually. You use the term contextually. But let me ask you, the writings from Genesis to Malachi, were they all writings about the period when the law was given? No. Because there was no law given in Genesis. But were they all written under the law? Yes. So would there be the influence of the law of sin and death in how it was written? Yes. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So in the same books, we're going to see the law, we're going to see the promise. Because the books were written under the law. Abraham has no book. Jacob's got no book. Moses got book. And Moses is the one who gave the law. So imagine Moses giving Genesis to people he also gave the Ten Commandments to. You know, this is going to have a whole lot of the law of sin and death in high places. That's why he doesn't talk about devil. He just talks about serpents. Till today, people are still looking for serpents. He doesn't talk about sin. He talks about unbelief. He talks about the tree. Tree? Tree? That's what he talks about. He says, God sanctified the seventh day and he rested the seventh day. Moses, the seventh day is for man. Hallelujah. See that? So, these things were written under the law of sin and death. Not the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, 15. Go to Romans 8. I'll start from 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now what's the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is the law of Moses. The law of sin and death. The law of Moses. Verse 15, Romans 8. Let's take 15 together. Well, let's go. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So what do they receive under the law? The spirit of bondage. Again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba Father. We have adoption today. Adoption was a promise under the law. In the old covenant. Romans 9, 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 5. Romans 8, 23. Galatians 4, 4. So, we have two things. We have the spirit of adoption. Now, let me ask you quickly. The spirit of adoption is in who? Huh? Romans 8. Is in who? The spirit of adoption was not given until Christ rose from the dead. Are we right? A man under the law cannot have the spirit of adoption. Can he? Can he? No, we can't. For the law of the spirit of life is where? In Christ Jesus. Now follow this. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8 2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 9. You are not in the flesh. Look at it. But in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ is God, so the spirit of God dwells in you. If any have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 11, verse 10. Christ being you, the body is dead to sin. The spirit is life to righteousness. Verse 11. Raised of Christ from the dead dwells in you. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit. Don't forget, what Spirit are we talking about? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, okay? As many as are led by the Spirit of, they are what? Now the Spirit of God refers to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Refers to the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. Alright, verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear,
But the Spirit of God, ever we cry. Verse 16. That we are. Okay. That we are the children of God. So let me ask a question now. Did the prophets have the Spirit of God? Now, don't get quiet on me now. You read it yourself. Did the prophets have the Spirit of God? Be bold, be strong. What's going to happen to you? Did the prophets, because it said they're under bondage. Did the prophets have the Spirit of God? I'll take it one more time. Did the prophets have the Spirit of God? Why? Because if you have the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. But they were not sons, they were servants. Sonship was a promise that they believed in. Right? But did they receive the promise? Did they believe in the promise? Okay. So, did the prophets have the Spirit of God? No. So far, we've studied them. Oh, wait. But did the prophets prophesy? Then by what did they prophesy? Hallelujah. You didn't have the Spirit of God. Say, well, no. The Spirit was on them, but not in them. It was around their clothes. Calm down, please. Don't. This is his community church, alright? Let's talk biblically and stop. The Spirit was on their head and not on their body. It's not on their. No. Let's understand what it means. So far, we've been able to track them a bit. Because, go to Luke 24 again. 24. Oh fools, that's what brothers, slow of heart, sorry. Slow of heart, brothers. To believe all that the prophet had spoken, Matthew 11:13. For the law, or the prophets and the law, prophesied until John. Prophesied. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy came not by the will of man. Okay? Came not in the old time by the will of man. But holy men of God, which I told you is the men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Ghost. That's not confusion. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What does that imply? Before you go further, look at Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10. Did the prophets even let us speak by the Holy Ghost? No. Revelation 19:10. Not all the time. I need to add that. Revelation 19:10. Are you there? And I fell at his feet to worship him. That's your business. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Why wouldn't he say that? Thou have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So you cannot find the Spirit of God except it's the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus was not in them, it was in their speaking. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. That word is material, testimony, utterance. So, let me ask again. What they had was utterance. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had utterance. They didn't have the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost was a promise for them. Pay attention to this now. Look at Numbers 11. Remember Numbers 11, we saw that a bit last week. Moses gets 70 elders together in the tabernacle, and the Spirit on Moses was put on the 7th, 6th year, two were elders, held in the middle. And the Bible says they began to what? Prophesy. You know, they began to prophesy. Weren't told what they were saying. Good things. What about Balaam? Balaam also was prophesying. Okay, so we had guys in Numbers 11 who prophesied. Look at 1 Samuel 10:6. A man by the name of Samuel, 1 Samuel 10:6. Samuel. And the Spirit of God, the Lord, shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Thou shalt prophesy. Thou shalt prophesy. Notice that the word upon does not mean on your head. No. The word upon refers to speaking. It doesn't mean on your head. It doesn't mean, you know what we say upon. The first thing on your mind, imagery, is on your head. But that's not what he's talking about. If the Spirit should come upon your head, then your head should be shining. But how come the Spirit is coming upon your head? Next thing we say, you are saying. So, that was the word upon is to what? Speak. They spoke by the Spirit. Which we can call the utterance gift. Now, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive what? Pay attention. This is what. Read Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After with the Holy Ghost, you shall receive. You shall receive. You shall receive. Notice it says you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You shall receive. It didn't say you receive the Holy Ghost. Because you're already born again. You shall receive. You shall receive. Power for what? And you shall be witnesses. Speaking. Acts 2:1 to 4. Now when the day of Pentecost, Thunder, was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of upon each of them. Now it says he sat upon each of them, and then they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? So what is the power? Acts 1:8. All trance. Are you following this? All trance. That's why the scripture that Peter used is Joel 2:28. Last day said, God, I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony out of your flesh, and I'll give you an out of flesh. Verse 26. I'll put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36. That's different from Joel 2:28. Utterance is not salvation. Many people prophesy. Zechariah Simeon. Look at it. Luke's gospel. Zechariah. That's Luke's gospel. Chapter 2. Chapter 1, sorry. Luke's gospel, chapter 1. Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad. He prophesied. Verse 67. Filled with the Holy Ghost, him prophesied. Saying. Luke's gospel 1:67. Luke's gospel 1:41. Saint Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost, she also spoke with a loud voice. She prophesied. Luke's gospel, chapter 2. Simeon. Also, he blessed them, verse 34, and he also prophesied. Anna, the prophetess, also did prophesy. So people had utterances. Utterances, they spoke. But the utterances did not have revelation. The utterances didn't show they knew God. They spoke. Romans 16:25. So what was available in the old covenant was utterance. The utterance of Christ. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has power to establish you, notice this, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, watch this, according to what? Romans 16:25. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The revelation. 26. And is now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Notice what he says now. Revelation. Ephesians 3, 3 and 4. We read that last week. By revelation. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired, notice, to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Look at the things. They did not see, I did not what? But notice it, he said they did not say. They said. But I did not see. I did not what? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 8. Verse 9, sorry. I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. Eyes, ears, heart. He didn't say mouth. He didn't say mouth. So they heard? No. They saw? No. But they spoke. Look at 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Let's take verse 12 together. First Peter 1. Let's go. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. So he's saying the Holy Ghost came. So what they had then was what? Utterance. What they had was utterance. Not the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had utterance from the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Just like those folks in Numbers 11. You know, look at Judas, for example. You know Judas? Are you aware? Judas healed the sick. You know Judas healed the sick? Come on, Judas healed the sick. Judas healed the sick. Judas cleansed lepers. Judas cast out devils. But did Judas have the Holy Ghost? No. Come on. Are you following what I'm saying? Did Judas cast out devils? Did Judas heal the sick? Did Judas have the Holy Ghost? Nope. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Luke 9 and 10. In Matthew 7, before you go there, Matthew 7, Jesus says, some shall come. They said, well, we have prophesied in your name. In your name. Verse 22. We have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. You know. He said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from you, you that walk in iniquity. I never knew you. Now, is he saying, I didn't know you existed? Nope. We never had a relationship. So there'll be folks like this. And this describes someone like Judas. Judas, for example, he said, didn't get saved, yet they prophesied. Yet they walked miracles. Because Jesus said, he that hear these words of mine and builds on it. What were the words? They were the words of salvation. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11, he says, no other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so always know the difference. So the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, the head of the corner. Hallelujah. So, what is that stone? Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter tells us what that stone is. It says that it is contained in the scripture. That's Psalm 118. 1 Peter 2:6. Psalm 118 verse 22. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. He that believes. Look at Luke 10. He that believes. He that believes. The key, listen now, the key to knowing God is believing in Jesus. That's the key. The access to the revelation of God is knowing Jesus. Is believing in Jesus. Faith in Christ. Watch this. Luke's Gospel 10. Remember in Luke's Gospel 9, before we go to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel 10. They came back and in the 17. The 17 rejoicing again with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through your name. Remember, through your name. You know, this included Judas, am I right? Huh? All the seven. Okay, good. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Can't you see? That's 19. I gave unto you exousia to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, because I gave you. What did he give them? Luke 9:1. He gave them power and authority over devils to cure diseases. Let me ask a question. Did he give them the Holy Ghost? No. Were they given the Holy Ghost? No. Come on. Are you following this? Are you following this? Were they given the Holy Ghost? No. Were they given power over devils? Yes. Were they given the Holy Ghost? No. Are you listening to this? So notice this. Go back to Luke 10. Notwithstanding verse 20. That is important. Didomi, was it he gave them, is the word didomi. It means to yield something for your use. To yield, you know, in salvation, he didn't give us utterance. He is the gift. Hallelujah. It is what we have. Follow this now. Didomi means to yield to for your use. I give you. He gave them. Luke 9:1. Luke 10:17. I give you. Luke 10:21. 19. Notwithstanding. Let's take verse 20 together. Notwithstanding. Come on, let's go. Notwithstanding. In this rejoice not. Come on. Why would you tell me not to rejoice? This is the key thing. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Yes. Quite. You know, Judas is not one of these ones. So, that means having power over devils. It's not the same thing as your name written. Somebody following me here? Let me ask you. Is it possible to be a prophet under the Old Testament and yet go to hell? Hello? Is it possible? Of course it is. Is it possible to be a prophet under the Old Testament and not believe in Jesus? Huh? Yes, yes, yes! Hallelujah! Is it possible to walk miracles under the old covenant and not believe in Jesus? Huh? Thank you. So what is the key? Faith in Christ. Come on, are you there? Salvation is the Spirit given in Christ Jesus. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5, except a man is born of the Spirit, that's the word water there, he cannot enter into the kingdom. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not, say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listens. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You know, where it comes coming from, where it's going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. John 7. Turn to John 7. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Are you learning something here? John 7. Verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Not unto Moses, not unto Abraham, not unto Isaiah. Let him come unto me. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, verse 38. Out of his belly, that's Jesus, shall flow rivers of living water. Let's take 39 together. Let's go. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you following this? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Quickly run to John 14. Okay, John 4. Quickly, John 4. John 4, 14. I'll take 13. Whosoever drinks on this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So say in him. So say in him. Go to John 14. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. He didn't say he is on you. He didn't say that. He dwells with you. Talking about himself. And he shall be where? In you. So, the giving of the Spirit is charisma. Notice, didodomi means to yield, to use. And that was why throughout the book of Acts, all we hear of the Holy Ghost was in signs. Signs. Not in the new birth. You won't hear about sons of God in the entire book of Acts. Not one place where Christians call sons of God. Not one place. Not one place. What they call children of God. The word in Christ is not found in the four gospels, in the epistles, in the book of Acts. So there was a dint of writing an eyewitness account. And so when he says upon is utterance. And that's why he used the word gave, didomi, to give, to use, the same way the old covenant talks about the Spirit. Focus on gifts, which Paul called them later. It's in the epistles that you read about the Spirit in. You will not find the word Spirit in the book of Acts. Not one place. Spirit in, not one place. In the book of Acts. Are you there? Are you learning something here? We'll look at this later. So, charisma is the Spirit given. Charisma. Charisma means part of you. In you. For you. By you. So, watch this. We can listen to utterances. Alright? And just like every utterance, we listen to them. That is the Old Testament. And we must interpret what they're saying and correct them. Since they don't have revelation, we must interpret them and correct them. Jesus corrected Old Testament prophets. He corrected Moses. He corrected Elijah. He corrected John. Are you there? So if what they did was by the Spirit, how come they were being corrected? He corrected them. Look at John 6. So never attribute all they did to the Spirit of God. Never. I'll say it one more time. Never attribute all they did to the Spirit of God. Don't. You correct them. You look at it. You know the Spirit of God. Because you're born of the Spirit. You know the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of truth is witnessed of in the epistles. So you take what you know and then you go into what they did. You know the Spirit of God. Look at John 6. John 6. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Are you following what I'm saying here? Right. John 6. Put your hands in Exodus 16. So all the prophets prophesied under the law. Did they? Come on, did they? Good. Exodus 16. Put your hands in John 6. Exodus 16, read verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, Exodus 16, 2, Aaron in the wilderness. Okay, quickly verse 12. I've heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, speak unto them, at evening you shall eat flesh, in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Okay. Let's take verse 4 together, Exodus 16, 4. I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and I shall prove them, because they walk not in the, my law or no. So, I'll rain from heaven. John 6, verse 32. Let's read it together. Let's go. John 6, I say put your hands in the both places, alright? Let's go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He that comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. How do you expect them to know what heaven is? Was there bread? Yes. Was it from heaven? No. Told you last week. Nothing has come from heaven since Genesis 1 except Jesus Christ. Everything that happened were earthly interactions. Hallelujah. You know, after Moses had given them the bread, and they had taken bread, then he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Can you imagine that? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. So that means that bread was a figure of speech. Let me take it one more time. Did the bread come from heaven? Huh? Let me ask you. In Exodus 16, did they think it came from heaven? Yes. Do you know it didn't come from heaven? Why? Because you are born again. You know that only Jesus came from heaven. So all the things they said God did from heaven, God didn't do anything until Christ came. So, let's touch one of those guys. Elijah. Elijah. Elijah had this battle with the prophets of Baal, which Jesus also had with the Pharisees. Paul had also with the Sanhedrin. How come your reactions were different? You can't expect Elijah to act like Paul. Paul is born of the Spirit. Jesus is God who became flesh. Elijah was a man that was still under the bondage of the law of sin and death. Come on, guys. Are we on the same page? Huh? Are we on the same page? So, here's Elijah. How the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings 19. Verse 10. I read that to you last week. 1 Kings 19. This was towards the very end of his ministry. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Verse 11. He said, I've been jealous, verse 10. I've been jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. He's all in condemning people. Torn down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. Even I, holy. Why are you running from being slain? Didn't you slay other people? He killed people. You know, he killed people. Say, I don't want to die. They seek my life, so take it away. And he said, go and stand upon the mount before the Lord.
And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. For the Lord was not in the wind.
Hallelujah.
After the wind and earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Earthquake and fire, the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice, it was so. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped up his face in the mantle and went out. That means all through the old covenant, God was in speaking. Somebody following this? He's in speaking. And what did he tell him? I have reserved for myself a remnant. That's what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 9. Chapter 11, sorry. I reserved for myself a remnant. So there's a fire. You know, I said, well, the fire, the earthquake. See God. Fire, the earthquake, and the wind shouting, power, I the Lord, I show myself. He said, no, he's in this world. You know, that's exactly how he related with Adam. The voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. But he called down fire. Where did he call down fire from? God did not send fire to anybody. Who gave them bread? 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 There is no bread in heaven. Who gave them bread? You are quiet. Who gave them water? Who gave them water? Who parted the sea? Who closed it up? Who gave them bread? Who gave them bread? Who gave them bread? Who parted the sea? So, Luke 9. Only Christ has come from heaven. Luke 9. Get it wrong now. So, God is in the voice. Are you there? Are you listening? Luke 9, 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, that his folks were trying to dishonor them, they said, Lord, will thou we command fire to come down from heaven. Because they also thought the fire came from where? We call fire to come down from where? From heaven. And consume them as Elijah did. And he said, he rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are from. So you guys don't know this. You need to also rebuke those guys. That means if you were present when Elisha called down fire, you'll have rebuked him. Why did you have to do that? You'll have rebuked Elisha the way you rebuke demons. Because God does not destroy. How do you know that? Because of your faith in Christ. Watch this. Whether it's the fire, whether it's the bread, rain, earthquake, they are all in the earth. They are all earthly activities. So when Elijah prayed, go to Elijah prayed. James 5, I'll close here. James 5.
James 5. James 5. 16. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Notice that. Subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the rain, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth our fruit. What heaven is he talking about? Atmospheric heaven. So, what was Elijah doing? Elijah was exercising authority in the earth. Notice he didn't say here that God gave rain. He didn't say that God shut the rain. He said Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed. Not God. So, we will need to study how they use authority in the earth. Elijah prayed. So the heaven, rain, is a function of the atmospheric heaven. You know that science-wise. And then the earth. So we explore this much later. Go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Kings 8, 18. 1 Kings 18. God didn't send fire to destroy anybody. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Verse 36. This is Elijah. It came to pass at the time of the sacrifice, for the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God Israel, now and verse 7. And I've done all these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear thee, that these people may know that I am the Lord God, that they have turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. We'll come and see this later. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and then they said, the Lord, he is God, and the Lord, he is a God. Elijah said, take the poles of Baal, let not one of them escape. And he took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. So what was working in him? The fruit of the Spirit. What was that? That was anger. The law of sin and death. Nobody kills for God. God gives life. Hallelujah. Remember I told you, Samson, when his eyes were removed, he said, let your spirit rest on me one more time. We're going to study that. You know what he did? He destroyed himself. Could he have rescued everybody? Yep. Could he have preached? Yep. But he destroyed himself. He killed himself. He actually committed suicide. Not by the Holy Ghost. Not by the power of God. He committed suicide. But the Bible says he's also in the faith. The spirit of the just man made perfect. I bet people say if somebody commits suicide, he can never be in heaven. Something's wrong with you. Those who talk fear, and die, is it not suicide? It's not until you bring out a gun and shoot yourself. Hallelujah. So you have to study these guys well. Am I right? Study them well. And know what not to emulate. And not what not to follow. Are you there? So we investigate them one by one. We'll start next week. Are you blessed this morning? Stand to your feet. Give God praise. Amen. Thank you. Christ is the revelation of God. He is God revealed to us. Lift your hands and bless him.